This video is brought to you by friend of the channel Squarespace. Stick around to learn more about how their intuitive website creation tools help people turn their hobbies into careers and dreams into reality.
Hey everyone, now we here at Friends Per Second have prepared a statement that we're going to be reading at the top of this week's episode. It's up on my monitor, which means I'm not going to be looking down the lens of my camera. I'm sorry, but obviously I want to make sure that I'm reading this correctly. Don't want to get anything wrong or miss anything off accidentally. So here goes. If you follow us on Twitter, you might have seen our statement from earlier this week regarding Gerard's involvement with the podcast. We wanted to reiterate it here at the top of the show, just in case anyone missed it. Now, last week, the four of us, that is Jake, Ralph, Gerard, and myself, met to talk about the ongoing situation with Gerard and the Open Hand Foundation. During that conversation between the four of us, Gerard offered to step down from the podcast. And as a team, we agreed that would be for the best. We want to thank Gerard for all of his contributions to the podcast to this point. And as for our stance on this situation, it's difficult for us to talk about as Gerard was both a member of this podcast and a friend. However, we do want to say that clearly Gerard has made some serious mistakes in the handling of the charity funds, in the way the work of the foundation was communicated to his audience, to us, and to you, and in the way he responded to the situation after everything has come to light. There are a lot of people hurt in a situation like this, but in particular, we're disappointed at the way the situation prejudices future fundraising efforts in the content creation space, making people less likely to donate to worthwhile causes for fear that their money may not reach its intended destination. To that end, we'd reiterate that charity work is important and we should all continue to directly support the charities that are doing good work and that raise awareness for their causes. That's what we plan to do on Friends Per Second. We're very lucky to have the platforms that we have and we want to use them to do some good where we can. Beyond that, the three of us will be continuing the podcast next year after a little break for the holidays. We have no plans to appoint a new host, but we will definitely be leaning on friends of the show to help us out. And of course, we still plan to welcome plenty of special guests each week. Thank you to everyone for all of your support. And now we have to do another really awkward, hard pivot into this week's episode.
You know what I really want to get into at some point? Formula One. It looks cool. It has all the coolest merch.
But then all you have to do is watch the Netflix thing, and then apparently you're just into Formula One.
Yeah, I've heard
What's
that.
What's the Netflix thing? What is that? Netflix,
it's like the fastest. You go really. It's like the Michael Jordan documentary, yeah, but for F1.
Oh,
is it
okay.
Drive to Survive?
I was close.
Yeah. Isn't that like a game? Isn't Drive to Survive like a game? I swear that's like a DLC for something. Drive to Survive. Let's have a look.
Hang on.
Formula One, Drive to Survive. No, it is. You're right. It's the next.
So watch
it's
that. Then watch Gran Turismo.
Game and a Racer.
Yeah.
You're right about the merch, though. The clothing is cool. The logos are cool. The watches.
Yeah.
Forget it. Oh,
it's
my
all
God.
Like, and it's all like really thick and like expensive looking. It's like you buy that and you're like, I reckon that'll last.
Yeah.
Whereas you buy like your average, like, I don't know, fucking little piece of crappy merch off some stand somewhere and it like falls apart in 10 minutes.
It's like everything is implied. It's just like Italian. It's just cool. Like, it's just
anything. Isn't there like a Ferrari movie coming out at the end of the year as well with like Adam Driver?
He plays Enzo Ferrari.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
And before he was playing like Gucci
in House of Gucci.
All these funny Italian accents. It's great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, him and Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
it's a great movie, by the way. Except
I liked it.
Jared Leto, he fucking sucked in it. What were you doing in that movie, my dude? Come on now.
He's like, Mamma Mia.
He was so terrible. Oh my God. And I don't think he's a bad actor either. No. Like, I've seen him in Rose. He can act, but for some reason, he had like just no business being in that film whatsoever.
He dragged it like the big moment too. Like, you know, in like Social Network, it's like when Eduardo finally finds, like when Andrew Garfield finally finds out that Mark Zuckerberg fucked him over, and it's this great speech by Andrew Garfield. It's like, it was just him like, oh no, why you do this to me? It's so funny.
Oh God.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Friends Per Second podcast. It's the end of the year. I'm crawling over the finish line, boys. Oh, I don't know about you.
Bruh. I'm like so unbelievably spent. You have no idea. Like, I'm so ready for this year to be done. I'm so ready for this year to be done.
That is Ralph, a.k.a. Skill Up. Also got Jake Baldino. Hello, Jake. How are you feeling the end of this year?
I'm like Jabba the Hutting over the line, where like I'm squirming. Nice. I'm a little chubby. I can't stop eating, but I'm almost there.
Yeah. It's weird because like in America, Christmas is actually not as big a deal for you guys as is Thanksgiving, right? Is that true?
No, Christmas is a big deal for me.
I mean like Americans, right? Okay. Like because whenever I hear like Thanksgiving, like I know that everyone comes home for Thanksgiving dinner, right? Mm-hmm. But not necessarily everyone comes home for Christmas dinner. Is that true?
There's a song and everything. I'll be home for Christmas if only.
Yeah, I know, but it just that's the vibe that I get. That it's like in the pecking order, Thanksgiving is number one for family times that you must be there. And then Christmas is close, but like number two.
No, a lot of people are like, fuck Thanksgiving here in America. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I guess you only get, I mean, depending on where you work, you get 2 days for Thanksgiving. So yeah, you get the long weekend. But Christmas, I mean, I've got.
It depends.
Yeah.
Some people don't get off at all for Christmas Day and then that's it.
Oh.
In Australia, yeah, because we also have something called Boxing Day in Australia.
Yeah, we have that in the UK.
You'd be familiar with as a Commonwealth thing. Mm-hmm. We have, it's called Boxing Day and it's like the day you're meant to give presents to the poor. That's what it was historically, but we Googled it recently and that's what it was. And but now it's just the day that we have our post-Christmas sales begin. So instead of giving money to the poor, it's really just buying shit we don't need at a discount, right? And so you guys have your like Black Friday Thanksgiving sales and we have our Boxing Day sales on the 26th.
We're all the same.
Yeah.
For me growing up, though, that was second Christmas.
Second Christmas?
Divorced parents, baby. So I got Christmas Day, and then I got Christmas Day 2 on Boxing
Day. Sick.
And it was
like
pretty
first and second
sick.
Breakfast.
Basically. It was like a full Christmas dinner both days.
Wow.
Oof,
which was great.
But then again, like Boxing Day here is like the leftovers day because you'll have so much food because you must have Thanksgiving. Actually, and I know Thanksgiving leftovers is a regular.
And it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And then people say stuff tastes better on the second day sometimes, right?
We do weird messed up stuff to our Thanksgiving left. So shout out to my best friend's stepdad. He takes all the Thanksgiving leftovers and stuffs them in egg roll wontons and deep fries it. And then you just have like an egg, like a Chinese food egg roll, but it's filled with Thanksgiving goodness, like turkey and mashed potatoes.
Oh my God.
It's wild.
So we have...
We're going to die.
Oh, yeah. No. We have... maybe this is a very Northeast thing, but we have... You either call it Cad Whammed Up. That's Geordie. That's basically like cold warmed up in the Geordie accent, Cad Whammed Up. Or there's a thing called Bubble and Squeak, which is just basically you shove everything into a pan and fry it together.
Yeah.
And then you don't look at what it looks like. You just enjoy the taste sensation.
Just eat it. Ugh. Yeah, true.
I like
true,
that.
True.
That's good.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Also, the other thing about our Christmas is that it's hot here, right? Yeah. So we'll like go to the beach on Christmas Day and right?
Do you what does Christmas dinner look like for you?
Oh, actually, Christmas dinner's not really a thing. It's lunch. Like Christmas lunch is the thing. And then dinner time, you're way too full. Dinner time, you just like passed out somewhere just from either food or alcohol and that's it. But the lunch is usually the go-to and it's hot. And so there's a lot of seafood usually. Ooh. So like, you know, you have your prawns and you're this and you're that. Yeah, like Aussie Christmas it's a nice Christmas. I would really like to have a white Christmas one year though. That'd be pretty cool. Always been the dream.
It's really nice.
It's like, you know, it's what we always imagine the Christmas to be. Mm. But it is also nice to be able to like finish your lunch at 4 o'clock or whatever and then go down to the beach.
Yeah.
And just like chill out there. And the Bondi Beach, which is where I grew up, is like packed out because there's a lot of backpackers down there, like the Irish and New Zealanders, British, whatever. And it's just like orphans Christmas down there that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just packed out. It's a good vibe. Yeah. So,
man, I'm so hungry now. Because I've been doing like friends Christmases and friends givings for the past few years, which is also, as much as I love and miss my family, don't get me wrong, but logistically having to go to each person's house and doing all that, when you take that stress away and you just rock up to a friend's house and you have like everyone brings their one thing that they made.
Sure.
And you all just get drunk and hang out. That's That's what I'm looking forward to.
That's the move.
That's the move.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so this is going to be kind of a non-gaming episode of our gaming podcast because it's the end of the year. All the big stuff, I was about to say has happened, but big stuff has happened.
This is the same day the Insomniac League has happened.
Yeah.
So, yes. Well, that was just like, what a way to end the year on like one of the biggest data leaks in the history of video game data. Like, well, not leaks, hacks, just to be super clear about the language. Yeah. So, yes, there is no rest for the wicked, so to speak.
So we decided that this week on the episode, we would just kind of have more of a chilled hangout vibe.
Yeah, you know, we got to... Cut loose. I
have
kick off the Sunday shoes, if you will.
Oh,
that's right.
Then, I don't think I have any beers. Damn it! But do you have a fancy?
It's midday for me, so I shouldn't start my. I'm trying to cut back on my day drinking, so you know.
But
it's gaming juice.
It's 6 p.m. So really, you could just join us. And,
that's true. I could actually, and in fact, I have a little. This coffee table here is a fridge, and I have beers in it, so it's possible.
Oh, okay,
it's possible. Coffee table, beer fridge. What the hell?
Oh yeah, don't worry. It's brought to you by this Skill Up sponsor, Eureka Ergonomic, baby. Check it out. It actually is quite excellent. I really do love it. It's my favorite piece of furniture. It also is a speaker.
What?
You can. Yep, for real. It has like Bluetooth connectivity and it plays sound. It's very good. So
that's awesome. I just have a regular fridge like an idiot.
Like I don't even have one right now. Like a chump. A regular fridge in your kitchen like a chump.
That's really sad looking at the moment because I need to go shopping. But we've got some questions that we prepared for each other. We've also got a bunch of user questions. I don't know, boys.
We're gonna be different. We want people to know.
We didn't really provide guidelines to each other about what these questions. First of all, we don't know what these questions are to each other. Like we haven't told them, and we also didn't really provide much in the way of guidelines. So we sort of said like, not necessarily the gaming. Yeah, sure. Like I've got some about like a gaming adjacent, but whatever. Like not too deep dive into it. So, like give me a top five games from the year 2013. PS3 only, you know what I mean?
Bioshock, Infinite, maybe? I don't know years.
2013.
Yeah, but like whatever. Okay, like I can start.
Yeah, go on.
Off topic, whatever. Right. Jake, you live in New York.
Here we go.
Okay, what is one stereotype about New York that is not actually true?
That isn't true. That's hard.
That's a really good point. A stereotype that isn't true.
Are all of the stereotypes that we see true?
The I'm walking here thing is not a phrase. It's an attitude.
Oh.
It's not really something that you say. People will like joke. Like, nobody really says it, but it's like a feeling. It's how you cross the street. It's not what you say.
It's how you cross the street. Wait, how are you crossing the street exactly? Like, don't fuck with me right now. I am crossing the street. Is that what that is?
It's kind of like you cross whenever you want. You can like almost walk into a car, but if you don't, it's fine. And the car keeps going and nobody thinks twice. That's probably...
What about the rats?
Pizza rats.
Rats are real.
I've actually, I think the rats in France are equal.
In size or in attitude?
In Paris?
in vibe?
I said in
size and amount, definitely.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. What about the crocodile? Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Are you sure?
I know. I've seen some videos
and I reckon it's true.
No, I have no idea. It's nice to believe in the Ninja Turtles though. Like to just think they're real. Mm-hmm. So
what about hot dog stands on the side of the street? Is that true?
Danger dogs.
Are they real? Yeah, they are real.
Are they real? Do you really have lots of hot dog people? Because I tell you how many hot dog people we have on the streets of Sydney. Zero. Okay.
Why?
There are zero places on the streets of Sydney where you can buy a hot dog from a guy standing on the side of the road.
There are places in San Francisco where they cook them and just put a bit of tin foil on the ground and you pick them up from there.
On the ground?
Well, I mean, the tin foil's going to
be. You got floor hot dogs?
Yeah, danger dogs.
The fuck, man? That's crazy.
I never said I had one.
Really going downhill, man.
Sure.
No, we have okay. So the hot dog stands thing is real, but it's also like it depends, like they're everywhere, but if you get out of like Penn Station or by Madison Square Garden, like they're gonna try and charge you like $10 for a hot dog.
And okay. you have to kind of and what like, should you pay for a hot dog? What is the right price for a hot dog?
It's been a minute since I've gotten one, to be honest.
It's like when you ask a politician, how much is a carton of milk? And they're like,
I believe $16. Pizza's everywhere, obviously, but also sure. like halal everywhere, which is it's great. Some good Spanish food, but the West Coast still has better tacos, like stuff like that, like Mexican food specifically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this the food episode? Because I'm starving.
No. This is just the New York tropes episode. What about the Times Square people who dress up as Spider-Man and do your photo thing? Have you ever done that before?
That is a real thing. So there's somewhere online, somebody has to find this. I'm not saying to like go scroll through my Twitter or anything, but there's a video of me walking up to like a dirty Pikachu, like a sketchy Pikachu. And I walk up to him and like I gave my phone to somebody. I'm like, film me doing this. And I walk up to him and I just walk up to him and I like whisper something in dirty Pikachu's ear. And I like slip him a $10 bill and like shake his hand and pat him on the back and walk away. That's out there somewhere.
What did you whisper in his ear? What did you whisper?
I was like, thanks for a great job. Keep on doing your thing, man. I believe in you.
I said
your service, Pikachu.
I said I didn't find it, but I did find your tweet about Detective Pikachu.
Okay. Close enough. It's out there somewhere. I gotta find that.
You get yelled at okay. if you do take pictures of them.
Yeah, you're not even supposed to engage. So yeah. I did that just for funsies. Yeah, but you are not, unless you're even if you're a tourist, don't engage. Also, people will try to hand you CDs. Mm-hmm. Like, here's my mixtape. And then you go, oh, cool, free music. Thank you. And then they go, no, wait, you have to give me money for it. Mm-hmm. Or okay. Like various religious, you know, like Buddhist people in garb will come and give you, you know, beads or some sure. religious paraphernalia, and you think it's like a nice offering, a good, and then they are like, no, give me money for it. So basically, don't take anything from anyone. Don't look at anyone.
Anyone in the eye. Don't talk to anyone and watch out for the rats. Wow, New York sounds great.
It is great.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Personally, though, I'm excited for the floor hot dogs in San Francisco. That's where I'm headed.
If you come for GDC, I will take you on a tour of our best floor dogs.
Okay. Okay, sick. That's good. All right, they're all the stereotypes that I have in my head about New York. So thank you for addressing each of them.
Not bad. Not bad. Not a bagel was harmed during the making of this podcast.
I have been to New York and I had New York bagels and they're legit.
Yeah,
I can say that for a fact. Mm. Like that's because I actually am a big enjoyer of the bagel, and the very best bagels that I've ever had in my entire life were in New York. So they know what they're doing.
What's next? Next time you're here, we got to get you on chopped cheese. We got to get you on.
What's chopped cheese? What's that?
So that is you go to a bodega or a deli. This isn't like if you're from like this is not like a like people have kind of like blown this thing out of the water. But
sure.
I don't believe it's overhyped. Essentially, it's a hamburger on a deli, like prepared on a deli hot grill, sure. chopped up hamburger meat, cheese, yeah. onions, pickles, and basically whatever condiments, anything you want, put onto like what some people call like a hoagie roll.
Sure.
Or a bun, whatever you want, and there you go. And it should be affordable and good. It's essentially chopped up hamburger with whatever you want slammed on bread.
Can we stop talking about food?
Yeah, so,
so
I have my question is one of my questions is about food too, because I think it says a lot about people. Can I
Yeah, go for it. We're on the food train.
So Lucy, I'll start with you. Mm. What is your go-to order at McDonald's?
Okay, I get a 10 chicken McNugget meal, medium. I used to, as a kid, always get supersized because I didn't have a growth spurt until I was like 15. And apparently my dad was like, he could tell overnight because I went from ordering a kid's meal to ordering supersize. We're back when supersize is still around.
It was a thing, yeah.
Diet Coke, I get the honey mustard dipping thing. And then I also get the I get a little cheeseburger as a side treat, and then I get sometimes a McFlurry, but a friend of mine who will remain nameless, she always orders an extra hamburger but doesn't eat it. Then she puts it in her bag for the next Smart. Day. And that is her like burger, her bag burger.
Bag burger.
Right. And she has it like the next day.
What so,
she
finally,
is she like I a surprise? Like she doesn't. It, like she doesn't remember, and all of a sudden she opens up to like get a 20 out. She's like, "Hey, that's right, I bought the burger."
she does it. I think she does it sometimes when she's drunk, but then the next day she's nice. Like, "I always do. I always get a little treat."
Like, ah, oh, thanks,
yeah, that's
drunk
it.
Me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's genius.
So that's why I feel like my order's really boring.
No, that's great. I think the honey that's mustard a, part was interesting.
One. Is it now the honey mustard or like the
or the sweet and sour?
No, not sweet and sour. There is another one. It has honey in it. I don't think it's mustard.
Some people do straight up honey, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's like a honey.
What, with their nuggets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can say it like honey chicken, like in a Chinese restaurant. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
We were at Tam's at the weekend to watch that basketball game I was telling you about. And we ordered a bunch of pizza and they have hot honey that they just have.
Yeah,
and
that's
a
thing now.
Oh, put that on pizza and it was so good.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It goes good on pepperoni, like pepperoni slices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's my order. Ralph, what's your...
What's your
Macca's
order?
I mean, like, Macca's, that's right. I mean, like, it's hard because, like, it's like you have a quarter pounder and, like, a McChicken and the whatever. But the problem with McDonald's is, I don't know if you guys ever face this, but, like, no matter how much McDonald's I eat, I'm not full. Do you guys experience this?
Yeah.
No,
I'm never full.
I swear to God, I could smash an entire... You know, do you guys have these family meals over in America? Where, like,
I think they just call them meals.
No, I mean, like, there's one with, like, they have like two Big Macs, two cheeseburgers, four sets of fries, four drinks or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And they're like $25. They're actually pretty cheap, right? Comparatively speaking, it's really good value. Now, I've never eaten a whole one of those, but I have absolutely zero doubt that if I wanted to, like, if I let myself do it, I could easily do that. No question at all. For some reason, every time I eat McDonald's, I feel like I could eat four or five times the quantity that I permit myself. This is that. So I try not to eat too much McDonald's because I never feel satisfied by it. And I just feel
also
pissed off
bad
by
for
the
you.
End. It's extremely bad extremely. For you. And the only way that I could actually feel full is to basically give myself the equivalent of a heart attack. You know what I mean? Like in terms of caloric intake.
But
so.
Over here, it tastes so much. It tastes different to back home. Because there's really? Just so much shit in it over here. Oh, yeah, like right, back right, home, right. The fries are, it's chips, oil, and salt. But over here, there is preservatives and E-numbers out the ass on everything that they have. And so it tastes weird. Sure. I miss a British
McDonald's. Yeah, actually, in fact, in Australia, we have like this whole fresh-made McDonald's thing where every burger that you order is made fresh on the spot. It's not like in America they have In America you guys still have the old thing where they make a cheeseburger and they leave it in the thing for like 6 hours until someone buys the cheeseburger. But here it's like you order a cheeseburger, they make your cheeseburger right then and there, and that's how it
that's
goes.
Like a real cheeseburger. I don't want that.
But also how long do you gotta wait for that, you know?
It's quick. It's actually quick. They figured out how to do it, so you know, that's it.
Wait, Jake, what's your order?
I didn't even think about. So I am usually back when the dollar menu was a thing and you could just get a bunch of things for a dollar. Thanks, Obama. I would get a McDouble with no pickles, a small fry, a McChicken, a 4-piece chicken nugget with sweet and sour sauce, and a small Coke. And that would hit. But I also my problem, my gift, my curse is that I like everything on the menu. So I'll do a double quarter pounder with cheese. Probably no pickles because I like pickles on burgers, but not on McDonald's burgers. I don't know. Something about it just doesn't. Yeah. Doesn't do it for me. Also, every time I go to a foreign country, I try their McDonald's because it's fun.
No,
sure.
It's good.
That's good.
Yeah, I always do
that's
that.
A good strategy.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
Do you have one that's been the best of all the places you've been to?
No. Canada. Canada's is good. Because it's like,
did you enjoy their
same.
special moose burger? Was that what the
no?
The,
don't be
the
racist.
The McMoose.
Don't stereotype.
Yeah, no, it is.
Hey, I mean, in the UK, we had the whole horse meat thing. So,
what's that thing?
Oh, there was a few years ago, like 10 years ago, maybe there was this big scandal where it turned out that a bunch of beef products were being sold, and it was actually horse meat.
Right.
Whoa. So, I don't know if McDonald's was involved in that, but a lot of the supermarkets were. And
sure.
It became a big
just
deal.
Put it in a pie. That's what you guys do, right? It's fine. Just
that's
throw
what
it in
we
a pie.
Do in Australia. Love absolutely. Pie. Yeah, for sure. We don't ever ask what's inside the pies. We just We just ate it.
I'm about that life. Like I love I've made steak pies. I've made pot pies, all types of things. They're great.
Wait, no, you made a pie? I've never made a pie. Is it easy?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good thing to do. Yeah,
it's good. It's good therapy.
I make a lot of soup. I bought one of those immersion blenders a few weeks ago.
Oh, bro.
Changed What's an the immersion game. Blender?
What the fuck is this?
It's like a
blender you really get into immersion. It. Like you can just really put headphones on.
Immersion blender. Okay.
That's cool.
Okay.
It's like a hand blender.
Rips through chicken like no man's business.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what this is. I see what. Yeah, I've got one of these. Sure. All right, this really is a food episode. Yeah. How about a non-food question?
Yeah.
You got one, Luz?
I've got one. Right, have either of you ever been rushed to hospital for any reason?
Huh.
There was really no guidance on questions, by the way.
Sure, so we were just going freestyle. I've broken my arm twice. Yeah, so the first time was when I was 8 and I fell off a pony.
Oh.
It bucked me off because it like sniffed another pony's butt, and then the other pony was like, yo, don't sniff my butt, and kind of like kicked back. And then my pony was like, whoa, and then reared up, and I was like, crack, and like broke my arm. And actually, as a result, and I don't really talk about this, but my arm, I can't really show it here, but like my arm is not straight in terms of its set. So like most arms, I can like maybe show a little bit of it. My arm bends that way. Because when it broke, it didn't set correctly, so instead of being straight like a normal arm, it kind of like bends outwards, and
like
it's really handy
C-3PO
for like
PO arms.
Yes, it's really handy for like reaching underneath, like if I drop something behind underneath a shelf or whatever. Yeah, like it's because it bends incorrectly and I can get stuff really easily.
Mr. Fantastic.
That is literally the only utility that injury has. The other time I broke my arm was like 14 and I was on a bike and I just like mountain biking, and then I broke my arm again. So
same arm or different arm?
Same arm, different break. Ooh. That sucked. But yeah, other than that, touch wood.
Yeah.
No other major injuries. So yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jake,
I've broken things. Not really rushed to the hospital. I broke my wrist. I've broken most of my fingers.
How?
Just one time a girl kicked me.
What?
Yeah, a girl kicked me and I put my hand up to block it and she just shattered two fingers. Impressive.
What was she wearing? Like Doc Martens with spikes on them?
She fucked me up. One time I punched something wrong, like one time from skateboarding, I think. So yeah, I always look cool though, because I always had like one bandage to the other, so I always looked like I was like a cage fighter or something, but I wasn't.
Yeah, true.
But rushed to the hospital, I had, I think when I was like 16, I had kidney stones.
Oh shit. Isn't that when, aren't you meant to get those when you're like 60?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
So I think I know the cause to this day. I had all of a sudden out of nowhere decided, like, just became obsessed with orange juice.
Oh no.
And I just drank orange juice constantly. I was like, hey, orange juice is so good. Num 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 num. I drank constant orange juice. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Why is there a link between
just like
orange juice
all calcium?
And
like,
it's just, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sugar.
I see.
Yeah, and sugar, and not drinking water and get dehydrated. I was in school and I was like, oh wow, I got like back pain.
You're
that's
like,
weird.
My ovaries.
I was like uncomfortable in class. I was like, oh, my back kind of hurts. And then it got worse and worse and worse and worse until the point I just like went, and it was like I had just gotten a cell phone. It was like a flip open phone.
Hell yeah.
I don't need this fucking thing. And then I was like, I'm so glad I have this, because I was on the bathroom floor in school. Like, ooh. Alfred, come pick me. Like, it was literally like Batman Begins. Like Batman fucked up. I'm like, Alfred, come pick me up. And it was my mom. And she had me in the back of the car. And I was in the back of the car like dying. And then, I went to the hospital and everything. I wore a hospital gown. And it was like Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, because I put the hospital gown on and I looked at myself in the bathroom mirror in the hospital. And then like I lost consciousness for a second.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Cool stuff. But I'm good now. But basically now, anytime I have to like poop or if my back hurts, I'm like, what if it's a life-threatening, awfully painful kidney stone?
Did you have to pee him out? Did they give you the therapy to smash him with like rays?
Yeah, no therapy. Just kind of like go home.
Just do it. Just raw dog those kidney stones.
Yeah, raw dog that sand out of your urethra. Yeah.
Love it. Fantastic.
Oh my God.
So there you go. I brought the heat there.
Yeah, yeah, you did. That's way cooler than a broken arm.
I've never broken anything, touch wood. But I was rushed to the hospital once when I was a kid. Actually, twice. Once because I was really constipated.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a really bad stomach and they just rushed me to hospital.
Too many chicken nuggets.
Yeah, the doctor was like,
it's when you made that flip to the
bathroom, you weirdo. But no, the other one was I was rushed to the hospital because I was complaining that all of my joints were hurting. And my mum thought that I had meningitis. And she was basically talking to the doctors. I think I was about 5 or something. And I remember being young. And I remember them just kind of like looking at me and whatever and nothing really happening. And my mom saying, no, she's really sick. She's really sick, blah, blah, blah. And then apparently my joints just swelled in front of their eyes and they got the red dots, which is a sign of meningitis. And they were like, ugh, you know, and then they took me in for an x-ray and did all this stuff. And it just turns out that I had like this weird, I think it was a kidney or a liver infection called HSP. And then I was like completely fine. But it presents like meningitis. So I was like rushed into hospital. And I remember it
was just... That was like an episode of House. Like the mystery, like it got bad. True. It ramped up halfway through the episode. And then it was like, oh, no big deal.
And then it was fine. And my mom learned a valuable lesson to always advocate for herself. I don't know. I put that in there.
That was good. Good ending.
Nice.
Right. Should we take a little break for a little word from one of our sponsors? We'll be right back.
Every day, I feel lucky to do what I do. I was working a job I wasn't loving and eventually tried my hand at content creation. It worked. And all these years later, here I am. I was lucky for a lot of reasons, but one of the big reasons was that YouTube existed, and so there was this platform for me that I could use to turn my dream into a reality. What if the website you need to turn your hobby into a career doesn't exist? What if you want to sell the ceramics that you make or photos that you take? What if you want to provide physiotherapy to people in your local area or promote a stall you run at a weekend farmer's market? Whatever you want to do to build a business, having a website is generally going to be very helpful, and there's no better place to build a website than Squarespace. Squarespace offer intuitive but powerful website creation tools. Never made a website before? Then Squarespace is for you, letting you customize their beautiful templates in no time. Already feel pretty comfortable with web creation tools and want more advanced functionality? Well, Squarespace is for you too, with features like SEO, plugins for numerous payment platforms, a schedule tool allowing clients to book appointments, as well as detailed analytics allowing you to track how your website is performing. Since 2003, Squarespace has been helping people turn their dreams into reality. So if there's a passion that you'd like to make a career, then check out Squarespace for free by visiting squarespace.com. And when you're ready to get serious, use offer code SKILLUP at checkout for 10% off your purchase of a domain name. Thanks Squarespace for sponsoring the video and thank you for watching it. All right. I have a question.
Okay.
For both of you, actually.
Okay.
In real life, when people ask what you do, what do you say and how do you say it?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It depends on the situation.
Okay. Let's say there's a total civilian, like total.
Uber driver?
They got. Totally. Yep. Uber driver, the doctor at the surgery, the bank teller, the person who's, you know, wrapping your meat at the butcher, that sort of thing. Like, what do you say? They go, oh, what do you do for work? Go.
A senior video producer.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's very circumspect.
I make it boring.
Nice. Yeah. True.
Because,
true.
Well,
clever.
So one time, this was a couple of years ago, I had a personal trainer. This was short-lived.
Okay.
And she asked me what I did for work. And I said, I'm a senior video producer. I don't know why I say senior. I think just for me, because that's, you know.
The title. That's
my title. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a video producer, blah, blah, blah. I work, I cover video games. I play a lot of video games. And on my personalized meal plan, she put my occupation down as gamer.
Just like Gerard Butler.
They're like, we gotta get ahead of this. We gotta put gamer down because we need to make some adjustments to this.
She sits like a shrimp. Anyway, so yes, if it's someone like that, I will say like a video producer. I work in video production.
Sure.
However, that can also lead to issues where I was in an Uber with someone, and this was back in the day when pre-COVID, I would do Uber pool a lot, or like Lyft, with a Uber other people, and I was in this Uber with all these people, very LA people, and they were like, "Oh my god, like I have this script that I really want to get out there. Like, who do I talk to?" And I was like, oh, that's not the kind of stuff that I do.
Do you reckon there's those people, all they do is cruise around in Uber, in like Lyfts, just talking about their script, hoping they strike it lucky. And then like John Favreau gets into their Lyft one day and they're like, aha, finally, my chance, it's here, you know?
Well, that was when I worked at CBS CBS Interactive owned GameSpot at the time, because obviously the conversation was like, what do you do? Where do you work? And so I can understand why they went there, but I'm not going to be able to hand your script to, who works there? Jim Lanzone? I don't know who's still at CBS anymore. Paramount, whatever the hell it's called. And I was just like, but if you have an interesting take about video games. So that's what I say. What about you guys?
Yeah, right. Has anyone ever given you any sass and been like, video games? That's not a real job.
You know, one person, kind of distant family member did.
Okay.
And I was just, and they were kind of, oh no, it wasn't. You know what? I can tell the story now because it's been years. So one year I come home, right? And my mum brings me into the living room. I travel all the way from London, come into the living room, and my mum just goes, I've got some news. And I was like, oh shit, what? And she goes, and this is Christmas, by the way. And she goes,
sure.
We've got a lodger for the Christmas period.
Wow. Okay. That's a surprise. Right? Sure.
So I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And she went, well, we have this strange man. She didn't call him a strange man. She was very nice about it. But ultimately, this man did prove to be very strange. Sure. We have this man living with us for the next 3 weeks because he works in the theater. And his company is doing the pantomime that is on at Newcastle Theatre. Pantomime, for those unaware, is a festive, it's like a theatre thing that you take your kids to every year. There are all these tropes and stuff. It's very camp. It's very kid-friendly. His company was putting on the pantomime that year. And so he was staying with us because my mom lived relatively near to the theatre. And then one day I was just mostly hanging out, seeing my friends. I come down to the kitchen and he's there. My mom is out. He's this older gentleman. He kept nicking food. He was really weird about it. And like one time he passed out in the middle of the night and he left the tap running the whole time. And I was like, what is going on here? And he was and he had a go at me. He was like really rude about video games. And I didn't want to pull out the, video games makes more than, statistic.
And also, this isn't even your fucking house, man. Shut the fuck up.
I was
up.
Like, what are you talking about? You are here in my kitchen eating my mother's food. Like, what?
And you're a pantomime.
Yeah, you're a pantomime. Up. And he was like, he kind of was like, oh, well, video games aren't a real medium, are they? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, BAFTA's in a couple months. We make a ton of money. I was on the, that was back then. I did a lot of stuff with the BBC and Sky News. I was like, I was just on Sky News talking about video games. Were you on there talking about your fucking pantomime? Anyway, that was the last time I had like a really rude person. That guy
what
was
an asshole.
Yeah, that guy was weird. My mom at one sucks. Point, my mom was like, "Is it okay if he spends New Year's with us?" I'm like, "No, get that man out of here." His mom lived nearby. Go. Wait,
why
go
was
see
he?
Doris.
I don't understand why he had to stay at your house though. Like, what is the deal with that?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
I love my mom. She always gets into like random scrapes like this.
Okay.
So that was the guy who's rude to me about gaming.
Got it.
Anyway.
All right, Jake. When you sit, you're at a barbecue, and some dude he works construction, or he works in a bank, and he's holding a beer, and he's like, "So, what do you do, buddy?" And what do you say?
I just say it now. It's been like a long character arc for me where I used to always be like, oh, well, I work in video production. you know, and for years I would always just stumble through something like that. I'm a video editor. I work online. Now people ask me and I just go, I am a YouTuber.
Yeah, nice.
Just let it, you know, and believe it or not, now that I'm like confident and I just say what I do, it actually results in a lot of people going, oh, cool. And that's it. And it's nice.
Yeah.
But every once in a while I get, it's mostly from older people when like, oh, they're like, oh, I know that. That's like, yeah, I've seen that. You're a YouTuber. That's cool. And I'm like, yeah. And then they just go, so how do you make money?
Yeah, that's the follow-up question every time.
I bite my tongue, but I always want to be like, how do you fucking make money? I don't ask you that. What do you do?
That's right. Well, the people actually ask you. What I find fascinating is that people feel like they can ask you how much you make. Mm. Like they feel it's perfectly within their rights to ask you, how much do you make doing YouTube? And I'm like, how much do you make doing your job as fucking this or that? I'm not gonna fucking ask you that, you know?
It took me like a year to convince my cousin, because like his daughters watch YouTube, and so he like thought I was like Mr. Beast or like Logan Paul. I'm like, sure. I don't have a Lamborghini. No, I don't have a, he's like, yeah, you don't have a Lamborghini, but you're definitely like, you're stashing all that cash. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm not hiding Lamborghini money. No, I don't have. No.
Sure.
So there's always that. Yeah. It's like, oh, so you're a billionaire. I'm like, no, no, I'm not.
True. God. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? That question.
What do you say?
Yeah, like most people, I find it pretty cool about it. Yeah, I'm the same. Like I used to be like, oh, I work in media. And like when now I'm just like, yeah, I'm a YouTuber. And they're like, I don't know. Some of them are pretty cool about it. Some of them, most people I find are quite interested, and they really like have this look on their face like, huh, okay, that's interesting. And they kind of like have some follow-up questions that are like, so what does that involve? And like, do people just watch you play games?
Oh, that's the big
What's
one.
What's up with that? You know?
Do and you I'm like, actually nah, not play quite. The games?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So,
love that
one. Some people just straight up laugh though. They just burst out laughing. I'm like, I'm a YouTuber. And they're like, what? And I'm like, that's my career you're laughing at right there. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
But most people, I think, are pretty cool about it. So, yeah.
Do you have to explain? So, I've had to explain like what type of. Have you ever had to explain criticism or like review? So I've had to be like, okay, I have to like RoboCop, like analyze, assess the person I'm talking to, like age, demographic. And I'm like, kind of like
Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert. Did you ever watch him?
But like dumb.
But not so douchebaggy. I love Roger Ebert, by the way. Yeah, I think there is some of that as well. Like, you have to explain that you're not playing games or whatever. Like, you're not making Mr. Beast style shit. Like, you're just like talking about video games and talking to like an older audience as well. I think that's the other slice of this, because people expect that you're just like playing Minecraft and yelling at kids. And I'm like, nah, adults play games too. And they're the ones that listen to me. Like, my audience is older and they're like, oh, that's cool. So. Yeah, it's a conversation that I've like gotten better at over time. It's taken like practice to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. I will and say, just, like, though, that like my family, when very confused at the beginning, but I will say that nowadays they are so proud of everything I do. They don't understand it, but they're I saw you were on this thing and I Googled you, and I was like, don't do that. I was reading your tweets. I was like, don't do that. Like, I found out my dad follows me on Twitter, but he won't tell me what his username is because he doesn't want me following him back.
That's hilarious. Much respect.
Always
watching. But it's really sweet. They're just like, I was on the radio I was on BBC to talk about GTA a few weeks ago. And I just told my family about it because it was cool. And they all listened, but they give me feedback that's not gaming related. They give me, you were very eloquent. And you answered you answered the questions very well. And I was like, that's really sweet. Like, they try and understand it on a level that they can get and appreciate rather than understanding the intimacies and intricacies of how many units GTA 5 has sold.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always nice to have that, like, that encouragement. Like, you know, sometimes your family is just happy that you're you're doing it. I mean, like, even with me, with just saying, like, I'm a YouTuber, like, it's you know, I'm proud of it. I've been doing this for a long time, like a decade, you know, so I'm proud of it, and I'm grateful that I can even say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree for sure. Yeah. And then like kid, then the speak to parents and they're like, oh, my son wants to be a YouTuber. I'm like, no, don't let him do it. Don't stop him. Please lock him away. Send him to military school. Anything other than this life, you know? Oh, God. No, I'm like, yeah, good on him. Good luck to him. Let him do whatever. But, like, don't let him start posting shit online when he's 12 years old, man. Yeah. Just, like, wait till he grows up a bit more before he starts making content. That's not healthy.
And also, I'm not teaching him.
Yeah.
Also that. Can you give him some pointers?
No.
Not really. It doesn't quite work that way.
Adobe Premiere. Good luck.
Yeah. And some YouTube videos. Yeah. Yeah.
I have, I got one for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you probably both have multiple. I think a lot of people do. Ralph, did you have a phase in high school? Did you go through like a phase that you can point out or a couple of phases? Did you have a period in high school where you were really insufferably into something or you made it your whole personality?
My headset just turned off. And that's the truth is that I've only ever just been into video games forever, ever since like day dot.
Mm.
And so did I have a phase?
Did you have like silly hair?
I would say I had a phase of just being like a dick when I was a teenager. Like I was definitely a massive dick for sure.
I could see that.
But
sorry.
I was never like really into, I don't know,
Blade.
I'm in the rowing club and it's like what?
Blade. Really
Blade. Like I never had like a I never had a skater boy phase. I never had like a serious sports jock phase. I never had like a I'm all about music or art or like I never had a phase like that. I was just like kind of me the whole way through, always just living and breathing video games 24/7. That was all I was about. But as I said, definitely quite dickish in my teenage years. And I look back and I'm like, oh, that kid sucked. And I remember my grandma one time was like, yo, you suck.
Oh my God, grandma.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, you're growing up to be a real asshole. That's what she said to me when I was like 13 or 14 or some shit. And I'm like, damn, I think she's right. You know what I mean? So she's no longer with us now, but I always remember that conversation. That was quite instructive.
Right, did you kill her?
Like, no, but I think she was just calling it when no one else would. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
she was just willing
sometimes.
To call
yeah.
it. And she was just willing to say like, hey man, you're being a dick. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll take that on board. Thanks. You know? So yeah, no other phases of that, I would say. That was me.
I was
Lucy covered her face in shame though at one point.
Let's go.
I think when I went to a school that was very kind of strict in terms of dress code and everything. Everything was uniformed. But then I met a bunch of friends who lived in the neighborhood that I lived in, but I didn't go to school with them. I'm still friends with them to this day. Group chat was popping off today, and I'm very sad that I won't be able to meet up with them for Christmas like we normally do. But they were definitely more of the skater kids, and I was introduced I listened to a lot of Slipknot, Nirvana, the Distillers. I got really into wearing very unflattering baggy clothes.
Nice.
The infamous one that people know about, I really wonder if these are somewhere or if they got thrown away or if there's a picture of them. But there was a pair of black wide-legged jeans with a chain. And then
nice.
On the ass.
I remember you mentioned this before.
Hey, hang on.
No, you got to keep going.
Embroidered in Gothic font, the term bad girl.
I would love to see a photo of this. It'd be so funny.
I would wear these big black baggy jeans. I also had, you know, big regular denim ones, and I would do short sleeved band t-shirts over long sleeved t-shirts wearing Converse. I think this is around the time probably Avril Lavigne was coming around. So
I was going to say some Evanescence.
I had really long hair, and I have very, very fine hair. And it's only recently in the last 5 years or so that I've realized my hair is actually kind of wavy, but I used to straighten it and it was, I mean, it's not a good look, and it's no wonder I remained very single. in high school.
Nice.
So that was my phase. I got like really into music. I got really into Beck when I was about 15.
Beck is a personality back in the day. He was definitely a personality for sure.
Yeah, and he was my personality. Like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he was like, yeah.
Because he had and has an album for basically every mood and every genre, I guess. So I was insufferable about Beck. And I was playing video games this whole time too, but I don't think I was as public about it, or like it wasn't until kind of a little bit later where I found places like GameSpot and IGN and kind of got more involved into the gaming.
Yeah, I feel like I only had like one or two people to talk to about video games at you know, depending on where I was. So it was always a part of my life, but it wasn't like, I don't know, like there wasn't like a gamer identity back then unless you were like a StarCraft sweaty. I think that was like the only real actual way you could live that life.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because I had four brothers, so like that's all we did, right?
Oh yeah.
So five boys with a Nintendo 64, four control points, all gaming all the time. And so that was basically like, yeah, you didn't have like a gamer identity, but you definitely had within the family unit, it was just like what you did.
And you're the eldest?
Yeah.
Oh, so you always got to play then. You didn't have to play on the Mad Catz controller.
No, I would never tolerate the Mad Catz controller. There was no way in hell. So yes, no. Player one all the time, baby. Oh man.
Let me see what else I got.
Did you
answer your phase question?
Yeah,
you said
you didn't really have a gaming.
No, play. I had a lot. My worst one, or the one I look back on, and I'm like, you fucking. I had a Bob Dylan phase.
Nice.
I had a Bob Dylan phase.
What,
like
age 13 or what?
I had like poofy hair. I had real Bob Dylan sunglasses. And I was just, I thought I was like smart and deep. And then separately from that, I was also guitar guy. The guy who always had a guitar, like, hey, you know I play guitar? Like, here I am with my guitar.
Oh,
good thing I brought my guitar.
Places.
That guy. Yeah.
Like in the Bobby
movie.
What
did you play? Did you play Wonderwall?
I played acoustic guitar. I mean, I could play Wonderwall, but yeah.
What would you bust out?
Like nothing cool.
Time of Your Life by Green Day?
I mean, yeah, that was like the first song you learned, but it was like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sublime, Bob Dylan. I don't even listen to music anymore. I'm only a gamer.
There needs
now.
To be like
he's more
a
gamer
guy.
Now than man.
There needs to be like a guitar guy at the gaming events we go to, and there's just someone who's like in the JW bar, just walks around with the guitar sitting there playing it, and be like, and everyone's like, dude, stop that, man.
Yeah, that'll be me. I'll bring it back. Yeah. Hey, I can play the first 10 seconds of Under the Bridge from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah. I am a guitar god. Would you like to hear Stairway to Heaven?
That'd be a great way to clear out the lobby.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I had a kind of related question based on phases where, I don't know, I'm just kind of interested in what you guys were like at school. Like, what did you study? What were your friend groups like? I'm just interested in school. Or uni as well. I feel like uni is also a very special time for people.
I had I was like friendly with everybody like but I only had like one or two friends, like actual friends. And now, like, looking back after like school, I'm like, wow, I don't have a lot of friends, but I'm grateful for the ones that I do have. And I was really into, you know, like some kids, like they're like in a band kid or like a theater kid. I just liked like art classes and like humanities classes. Like, I really liked art history. I took as many art history classes as I could. Mm-hmm. You'd never know it, but that was me, I guess. Pretty simple. I don't look back at school with fond memories. I don't know why I have such a chip on my shoulder. Like, nothing bad happened to me, but I just didn't. I think it was because I moved. I started high school in a new school and I didn't know anyone. And I was like, this sucks. I hate this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I had I think similar. Like, I had to change schools like midway through, and yeah, like I didn't. School was not good for me. Like, I just, I think that was also like my dickish phase, and like, I just wasn't able to find a groove, and yeah, I just kind of floated around and just kind of waited for school to be done. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just something I got through rather than a place that I really thrived. And like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, school was not fun. I didn't love school. University was sick. I loved university. Mm. University was like, I finally met my people and I found a groove and I like had a great time. That's when I felt like I actually became a proper person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, school was just like this thing that you just, I just had to get through. So yeah, it was not fun.
Do you have a happier version?
Yeah, I was in school with the same people from 11 to 18. And that's then nice. I went to uni and a bunch of people went to the same uni as me. I was in the same halls as a guy from my year who we became really good friends. And then my best friend from school, two of my best friends from school, three of them. You met one of them. You met Katie in LA, who was randomly in LA at the same time as the Game Awards. Like, we were all just at the same uni, so we spent, you know, like 10 plus years. And I'm still friends with people that I went to school with. Like, when I was back in the UK, I stayed with my friend Hannah. School for me was, I can relate, I was friendly with everyone, but my group of, like, really close friends was smaller. But then we were kept separate from the boys. So you were mixed in year six when you were about 10. And then you were separate from year 7 to 11, so 16, and then you were mixed again age 17 and 18. So it's kind of weird because you have all these really close friendships with the girls and then the boys get added into the mix. But it was good. I really liked school. However, I will say school was the absolute pinpoint. You can pinpoint the time I became anxious because I went to a school that would ask you to leave if you didn't get certain results. And so it was
that would be stressful.
Very stressful. And then, but I missed like, I think the thing that's why now I have such a close group of friends and I like to surround myself with friends because I think that helped a lot when I was younger. And also it's great just to surround yourself with good people.
Sure.
But no, I miss school. Also, I lived a 5-minute walk away. So my house was like very often the hangout house. Which was very fun because I would be like, yeah, we could go home and watch Whose Line Is It Anyway instead of going to what sports or whatever.
What a show, Whose Line Is It? Yeah. Man, like, how do you consistently just be that funny as a person? I don't understand. That whole group of people, that whole troupe, unbelievable. Every single time I tuned in, I was like, it is impossible that these people can be this funny, this consistently. Like, at the drop of a hat.
Who's your favorite?
Staggering. I don't know their names. And I didn't really have a favorite, to be honest with you, because all of them were so good. They were the three main guys. I don't know any of their names.
Colin Mockery, Ryan Stiles, Wayne Brady, Greg Proops.
I don't
know. Jeff Davies, Chip Esten.
I don't know, man. But every time I watched it, because I would never like sit down to watch it. As in, like, I would never like organize myself. Oh, I know it's on at this time. It was the kind of thing I was just flicking through. And every time you land on it, you're like, yeah, sick. Let's watch this. And every time I was like, God damn, man, this is insane. So I don't know. I hope they were paid millions and billions of dollars to do that. But I suspect they probably weren't that kind of business usually doesn't make you a lot of money. But they're just like, it's crazy how talented they were.
In the middle of like the actor's strike, I think Colin Mockery came out and said that they don't get residuals from it. And the amount that that show is syndicated, even like the UK and the US, it's insane. So they still tour. Man. I get adverts all the time that they're around San Francisco.
Go?
Yes. Oh my god! I would love
team
that.
Building. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I'll fly over from Australia.
Just for Whose Line? Just for a little.
Yeah. If it's timed at the same time as like Summer Games or something, then sure, let's do it. Yeah. If we get lucky, so.
I got another one. If you guys got time.
Pivoting
to video games a little bit, but getting really specific. Can either of you remember the first time you saw a video game?
Yes,
not even
absolutely.
Played it, but saw one.
Yes, it was when my parents gave me a Nintendo Entertainment System when I was 4 years old and I cracked it open and I saw Mario on the screen for the first time. That was absolutely that's it. And it's so like seared into my memory like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the house, I remember the TV, I remember the box, I remember the light gun for Duck Hunt. But I just remember so vividly seeing Mario on that screen at that age. And it was like, that's it. That was it for me forever after that. So, yeah. But also, the other memory that I have of similar to that is I remember seeing Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast for the first time.
Oh.
And my brain just being like, what the fuck? How is this possible? This can't be real. What the? Do you know what I mean? Like, literally felt my brain like recalibrate to make sense of the images that I was seeing on screen. I think something similar happened with Mario 64 the first time I saw that, where I was like, how does that work with the camera? It moves around the environment. Like, what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of those moments, I think, are like really seared. But I think the Dreamcast one really stands out to me as being like, nah, man, there's something my brain is short circuiting right now. This can't be real. You know what I mean?
That's so funny you mentioned the Mario thing, because I had my first console was an NES. And I do remember like playing, you know, the classic Mario games and going across the street to the kid's house who had a Nintendo 64 had Mario 64. And I was like, that's the same guy? That's the guy in the game I'm playing? That sucks.
Mom, why is my Mario suck?
Like, that's the poor Mario, honey. Lucy, what about you?
So I can't put it on a timeline properly, but it was definitely a Sega Genesis. I was just Googling to make sure, because over back home, we call it the Mega Drive.
We do too. That's right.
And so I remember a friend of mine having Mortal Kombat. My friend Robin had Mortal Kombat. I remember seeing that and I was going, what the hell is this? But another friend of mine, I remember going around and playing Sonic for the first time. No idea which one. And I just remember being so bad at it. I was like, oh, I don't like gaming. I don't like this. I don't want to play video games. My granddad's next door neighbor had a PS1, and I remember playing Crash Bandicoot. I also remember playing Crash Bandicoot with my godmother's kids. And then my dad had a PC, and my dad and I would play Tomb Raider. He was obsessed with Worms. My dad loves playing Worms. He plays.
That's
and then,
awesome.
Yeah, he loves Worms. Pretty cool. And then he would play like Doom and Quake and, oh, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. So
ooh,
I have
shit, yeah.
All
now
these
we're talking.
Scattered memories of early video game experiences, yeah. But I can't tell you on the timeline which one would come first. But I definitely remember the Mega Drive stuff. So
it's
probably
really cool
that.
Though to be like to have that though, where you're like, oh, I was exposed to a lot. Like I'm always like grateful for the people, like my family members and stuff, for just like throwing me into those things and showing me those things. The thing I remember them, I was able to pinpoint it. And memory is fuzzy. Like I remember weird little things as a kid, but I the first video game I remember ever seeing and being like, what is that? Is X-Men Children of the Atom on arcade. And that's an X-Men fighting game. I was kind of like, I guess kind of like Street
Fighter 2
based.
Isn't that one that Eric Williams worked on when we spoke with Eric Williams?
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. When we interviewed him, he worked on that. Yeah.
I remember seeing it at a pizza place and just seeing like the demo, you know, the attract version, and seeing like Wolverine and Juggernaut and me being obsessed with, you know, all those characters. I was like, oh my god, what is this? I remember just like playing it, not even putting money in it, but immediately just being like, I need to touch this. So that was my first. I'm pretty sure that's the first thing I can remember. It was an arcade machine in a pizza place in Holbrook, in the pizza place, in the shitty mall. If anybody remembers that, who lives on Long Island, let me know. I can't find any record of that arcade machine existing there, but I believe it in my heart. And now that pizza place closed down. So
sad times.
All right, Ralph, I know you've got more questions for the two of us. I've got another question, but we're going to go to a quick break with a word from our sponsors before we go to that.
All right, so this episode is brought to you by Incogni, but I have an admission. I don't really know what Incogni is. I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't actually know. But I know that you guys have used it recently, and I kind of want to know, like, what's the deal? So what is the deal? What is Incogni?
It's cool. It's super easy. It's essentially you sign up for it and it's almost like a privacy tool. So essentially you make an account, you set it up, you put in your basic information, and then Incogni kind of goes out on your behalf and scours the internet for your information. Everybody's okay. information is kind of out there in various ways. So what Incogni does is that it kind of over time generates a report of where all that stuff is, and it essentially submits takedown requests on your behalf. And that's really nice because there is a lot of stuff out there, like, you know, your personal information, your address, your phone number, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Wow. So is it just like automatically doing that all the time, or is it like mm-hmm. a one-time thing?
No, it's like
you just press a button.
Constantly
it's
scouring.
Constantly doing that.
So like I set up an account okay. the other day and I put my information in and it immediately generated a report. And it was like, here's 150 places where we found your personal information on the internet.
Holy shit.
Which is terrifying. And then it just immediately started issuing takedowns. And because it uses things like GDPR back in Europe, and there's an American kind of equivalent to get your information taken down, it just gets the job done. And so I logged in today to see how much it had done. And out of the 150 plus, there were already like 70 resolved. Others were pending because some places don't want to do it straight away, but Incogni yeah, keeps right. on them to make sure that they take your stuff down. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty cool. It's like, you technically can, like, you're within your right to just contact these companies and say, hey, can you take my, you know, but there's so much out there. So that's where Incogni comes yeah. in, and it essentially makes it easier. And it is more of an ongoing thing because I've had it. I've been signed up for it for a few months now. And essentially they email you progress reports. Some of them do take a while. Some of the companies drag their feet. So you get little updates over time, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
It also suppresses, cool. like puts you on like this list. So you're not like suppresses the amount of reach these places can, when what they can do with your information if they have it. So it's like,
really,
it's okay. really cool. And I get a ton of junk mail and yeah, it's just kind of like,
all the time.
It's also scary. Like I'm on the internet. I don't want people knowing where I live or how to contact totally. Me. And so it's just nice peace of mind.
Yeah. It's been yeah. useful. It's been going well.
Okay. I will actually check that out because I've never used a service like that. And after like, what, 20 plus years of being on the internet, I'm sure my data's everywhere. So yeah, I'll check that out.
Well, Ralph, believe it or not, here is a deal for both you and our savvy listeners. Head to incogni.com, throw in the code FRIENDSPERSECOND, one word, and snag an exclusive 60% off. It's time to reclaim your online space with Incogni. So again, incogni.com. Use code FRIENDSPERSECOND, 60% off, and big thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this podcast. Hey, you guys hitting that green stuff?
I am. I have been for months, actually. Like, no joke, legitimately, ever since AG1 first sponsored us, like, I've still been hitting it. They've, like, not every day, but most days, I think. And, yeah, I still love it. I still feel good that I've done something good for my body at the start of the day. Pump some green stuff into me before I begin my regular diet of Doritos and, you know,
what a
Mountain
gamer.
Dew
and burritos.
Doritos and burritos. good and improv burritos. There. Yes, and.
Do you guys ever do this? Okay, wait, serious question. Do you ever have crunched up corn chips within your burrito?
I mean, over here, they literally put a big Dorito chip in a Taco Bell thing, so... Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, you get
okay,
like
fair
a
enough. This
Dorito
is not a thing they do in Australia.
Thing. Oh.
Okay, this is not a thing they do. They do not put like crunched up corn chips in burritos. So I have to do it manually when I order a burrito. It's worth it.
I think
but
this
I really
is a
feel
good
like
time.
It should be a staple.
I really think this is a good time to mention that not only does AG1 deliver your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit. It's also yes. powerfully simple. It's a scoop. You take a scoop in a cup of water to start your day, and that's better than burritos with Doritos.
It's painfully obvious better than we eat like children.
Oh God, no! But I love the little container that it comes in as well. You keep it in the fridge. It's nice. It's got a really nice scoop with it. Plus, also has little travel kits as well. So when you're on the road, like they have little travel sachets you can take with it, which is great. But yeah, I mean, look, obviously I'm like looking at New Year's resolutions. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next year. Going to try and get my shit together a little bit more. But one thing I will just continue to do is take AG1 because I've really enjoyed it this year and I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, I'm so bad at making sure that I eat properly because I work so much, and AG1 is like the one thing I do in the morning that kind of makes me feel like I've given myself a good start to my day. So I'm also, my New Year's resolution is to keep doing it.
Gut health, you know, immune, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's been good for me. In terms of New Year's resolutions, I will not commit to a single thing.
Very nice. Love it. So we all really like AG1. We think it's great. And we're really glad to have them as a partner on the channel. And of course, there's a special deal available. You can start every day this season with a gift to yourself. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/friends. That's drinkag1.com/friends. Check it out. That's a very important question to bring us back.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the hottest video game character? Jake, go.
We're doing this. Oh, shit.
We're doing Jesus. This. We're definitely doing this. And don't cop out with some shitty answer like, oh, Jack, he's so hot. No, no, no. Give us the good stuff, man. Come on. Tell us for real.
Tifa, off the top of my head. Definitely Tifa.
This is an excellent choice.
That's my answer right now.
Okay.
Lock it in. Right.
Lock it in.
Lock it in. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Are you saying, when you say hottest, do you mean aesthetically, vibe, BDE?
Whatever floats your boat, Lucy. Okay. Whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm. She's looking over at her statues.
Geralt or Garrus Vicarion.
Ooh, okay.
Garrus.
Interesting second choice.
Yeah.
Oh, Garrus is good. I get
like it. No, I think yeah, you're right. There's a thing there for sure.
Yeah.
No matter what. We all felt it when we played.
Yeah.
We all felt it on some level. There's a reason we talk about it in the way that we do. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
Garrus
is he's got it going on. Also, I will agree, Tifa. Too.
I agree with Tifa. But I also agree, close second, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil 3 remake.
Yeah. Very hot.
Hard to top, man.
Very hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to top. When she gets onto that train and she does that look back, you're like,
hot.
Damn, man. Capcom knew what they were doing right here, you know? They knew what they were doing. For sure. For sure. Geralt's a good choice, though, as well. I like it.
I just like he's the stoic. Like, he could take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he definitely could.
Definitely.
I'd feel very safe and protected in his arms atop a unicorn. Absolutely. I would, for sure.
A bathtub, atop a unicorn.
In a bathtub, whatever, man. It's wherever.
The opportunities are endless.
I was big into Final Fantasy X-2 as a little pervert.
Okay.
Because...
All the girls?
Because
the
it was like, you remember Yuna, but now here's Yuna with shorts on. And it's like, oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice, nice. Very nice.
What about you, Ralph? Man. You said Tifa. But...
The Jill Valentine.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I think she's like number two, for sure. But yeah, Tifa's pretty hard to top. I mean, because, all essentially dated her for 30 hours when we played through that game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that game ultimately was. It was a Tifa dating simulator. And it was a very effective one at that. So yeah.
I also would like to say Kiryu. Kiryu.
I have one more. I'm sorry. Connor from Detroit Become Human.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Got a weird thing for him.
Wasn't Brian Deckard was his name?
I believe.
Is that his name?
So.
The actor?
Yeah. I just love the robot. I don't like him as a real man. Mm. Only as robot.
That's not very nice. He could be a listener. That's not very nice.
Yeah.
Brian, I think he's lovely.
His work is great. But
yeah, sure.
And you just want to
and you said Kiryu as well. Yeah,
Kiryu.
I can see the appeal.
But
yeah,
again,
definitely.
It's similar vibes with Geralt, where it's like he could look after you. You know, he would
true.
Care for you.
That's true.
That's all you want.
Yeah,
Jake, you look very confused.
No, I was trying to like put together words to say about Kiryu because he is great. He is. I was like, oh yeah, I do have like a weird thing for him. He can do no wrong. It feels like he can just do no wrong. Like you can always just trust in him to like be the coolest, the wisest, the smartest,
the
who has the right answer.
Yeah.
And I find that attractive.
Did you guys see that TikTok or that short about like the Reacher, that show about Reacher?
Mm.
But that show, like Jack Reacher or whatever.
Yeah.
And this TikTok's like, you know, Jack Reacher's a show you should talk to your dad about because it's about a very large man. And the moral of the story is that no matter how big a problem is, Jack Reacher is larger than that problem. You know, like, it's very, very good.
You know,
I've never watched a single episode of that show, but he does look like a very large
man. People are saying he should play Batman.
And no,
that would be the dumbest. It'd be like, oh, who is Batman? Oh, look, here comes Bruce Wayne, the 7'8" gigantic muscular figure who has exactly the same physique as Batman. I wonder who Batman could be. Come on now, ridiculous.
It's true though. In every drawing of Bruce Wayne, he's got like the thickest neck.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's all true. Neck.
Nothing but
neck.
Yeah. Well, those are our questions that we wrote for each other in this team bonding exercise for this chilled out episode. We obviously have some user questions. Remember, it is contact@friendsperSecond.com. Jake, do you want to scroll down to read the one I highlighted at the very bottom of the
document? Yeah, thank you. Hi, guys. Longtime listener here of all your content. Love what you guys do. So thought it might be time to actually ask a Q&A question. We all know how much Lucy loves a bit of Nine Inch Nails, but if we're on the topic of music, what are your favorite video game soundtracks? Kind regards, a fellow Jake. Ah, good name.
Oh.
P.S. Okay. You all really inspired my brother and I to start our own local gaming podcast. Yes, another one. Ha ha. Nice. So I just wanted to say thank you for all you do and keep up all the great work.
Wish he'd pimped it.
Yeah. Regardless, I hope you have fun with it. Mm-hmm. Have fun making it. Mm-hmm. Really.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'll go first. Mm. Video game soundtrack. So for me, Jesper Kidd was the soundtrack to my video game life upbringing. Hitman 2, Silent Assassin, that whole score, the Splinter Cell stuff is obvious. Freedom Fighters and just like how heroic and bombastic it was. Really good use of synth, like really cool synth sounds in all of his scores. To this day, I still just put it on. It's like good, like lo-fi, like study music if you're looking for
Did you play 40K Darktide?
No,
because he did the soundtrack for that and it's sick.
It's incredibly good.
Some of the tracks are just like amazing. So
I gotta do that. I like downloaded it and played it like for a second. I gotta get into that.
Before the music even kicked in, Jake was like, no.
Yeah.
Wait for that swell.
Yep. I don't know, like, yeah, I'm I don't know, like a big mix. I like soundtracks from back in the day. I don't know, that was really like listening to many game soundtracks a while ago. I remember listening to like the Harry Gregson William Metal Gear Solid 2 theme like a billion times because that was the sickest thing I'd ever heard in a video game ever, because that was it. And also the Metal Gear Solid 1 Best Is Yet to Come song. Mm-hmm. That is literally one of my favorite songs, full stop. Like, I love that song that much. Yeah, I think the Skyrim soundtrack for years has been a real go-to. That is really some incredible music just to have on in the background. And yeah, that's an all-timer. I think the Nier Automata soundtrack is unbelievable.
Hauntingly good.
Yes, I think that Final Fantasy XIV's music is... The volume of it, as in like the amount of it, is insanity. Like, it's incredible that one person, or a team obviously, but led by one person, is able to make this much music that is that good. It is out of control. Outer Wilds soundtrack, because that game means so much to me. Every time I put it on, I like get taken back to what it felt like to play that game for the very first time. But one soundtrack that I think is probably really overlooked, I would say, is the Sable soundtrack.
Ooh.
Because it's done by a group called Japanese Breakfast.
I love Japanese Breakfast. Yeah.
Yes, and they did a soundtrack to Sable, and it's so excellent. Like, it is definitely been one of my most listened to soundtracks ever since it hit. But I soundtracks in that genre really speak to me. Like, the Gris soundtrack is also excellent, as is the Journey soundtrack. That kind of space just really works for me. But I think in particular the Sable one really is like surprisingly great. So yeah. Those are some of my go-tos, I think. Yeah.
For me, so I love, and unintentionally I am wearing my Okami Three Wolves.
Nice.
Howling at the Moon t-shirt today, but the Okami soundtrack is beautiful. I have it on the vinyl from a few years ago, and there's one song on there, Shinshu Plains or Shinshu Field, that's so gorgeous, and it has this real kick to it, and halfway through, and it just makes me feel very energized. I've been fortunate enough to see some video game music live. Sadly, not a Tommy Tallarico special, but I've seen the Elder Scrolls in concert in London, and I've seen Yoko Shimomura and Ueda do Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts and Chrono Trigger before. Cool. And so seeing those performed by a live orchestra is always amazing. So I would say, yeah, Final Fantasy VII. I loved what they did with Remake, but also 12. I mean, 12 I have the soft spot for anyway, but 12's music is just like, yeah, I love it. I do this thing where I do chores to The Sims music.
Oh, I fucking love that. I love that. That is so, why don't I do that?
And it helps so much. I saw it on TikTok or something and I started doing it. I was doing it today. I was like tidying up and I was like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm really getting stuff done.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for this gift.
Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2 are incredible. Don't get me wrong. But Red Dead 1, that soundtrack, I just became obsessed with.
You're talking Red Dead Revolver?
No, Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's some good shit on that, too.
I mean, there is a good shit on Red Dead Revolver, but no. Red Dead 1, Bill Elm and Woody Jackson, and even the covers that they had on... Not covers, the... artists that they had to in on Red Dead 2. So Josh Homme, for example, doing Cruel World, and Willie Nelson. And there was one where I used to love the Life is Strange soundtrack, the first game. And there was one more that I wanted to talk about that it's completely left my brain.
The Wii Shop soundtrack.
Always.
I have a weird thing. Mm-hmm. The shop music from Ocarina of Time is something.
Oh, that's a great song.
I have been perpetually whistling and humming for the last like 15 years.
Sure.
The other day I coughed like I like that. And Amanda was like, what? Did you just do the fucking thing? And I was like, I guess I did. So there's something really wrong with me.
Oh my God.
So yes, Zelda indeed. Music, highly Zelda like music. Really influential. Love it.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been listening to a lot of Health this year, and obviously the Max Payne 3 soundtrack is fantastic. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, I have one more. For me, it's Oblivion. Oblivion is my airplane, like airplane fall asleep music.
Ooh.
Oblivion has a lot of like, a lot of the music felt built around you like wandering those wide open green pastures, and it's a lot of like swelling. And it's just very relaxing. It's really good. I obviously can talk very well about musical theory.
Yes. Can you? I can't sleep listening to music.
Neither can I. I need total silence.
Only
when I sleep
on airplanes.
Stuff.
I need people talking.
You need people talking
to
sleep.
I need podcasts.
You need like an H Bomber Guy video rolling.
No,
to go to bed.
I can never sleep to one of those. No, I need. I listen to a lot of podcasts to help me sleep, even though Ellis James and John Robbins I've listened to since like 2017, and it's I will get 10 minutes in and I'm out. I probably don't, like, I'm chronically fatigued. I do not need help going to sleep, but it's part of my routine. It's like this comfort thing, and so I can't listen to gaming podcasts to sleep. I can only listen to like my brother and me, Ellis and John, Help I Sexted My Boss, like anything that's completely unrelated to games. I don't know if that's a But yeah, so I'm really
People tell
interested.
Me all the time in my comment section, they're like, hey, I always listen to you to go to sleep. And I'm like, that's not very nice.
Soothing. You make people feel at ease.
I work hard on this content. Thank you very much. You know,
Leave but your
whatever,
autoplay
whatever,
on.
Whatever works for you, it's fine. So go with God. That's right. My blessing.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for your question, Jake. We got another one. Ralph, do you want to read it? It's the one I highlighted at the top.
Yes, I will absolutely read that one at the top. Hey guys, I've been meaning to ask you some questions for a while, so I have a couple for you. Number one, most people play games to chill out from work or life, etc. What do people that play games for a living do in this situation? I hope Jake is making crochet Robocop suit ready for Halloween next year. And the second question is, how big is a games journalist pile of shame, and what are each of you going to play next from it? That's from, he says, love the show. That's from Mr. Pabs.
Mr. Pabs. Cool.
Can you
name.
Feel it? Can you feel it now, Mr. Pabs?
Mr. Pabs, that is a cool name. No.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
For the first question, chilling out from work or life, I'm still figuring it out. A lot of it is just boring home ownership tinkering, where like I'm gonna fix the doorbell, or I'm gonna hang a picture frame and fuck it up 8 times and then stew on it for a day and then hang it up properly the next day. I also really like cooking. Cooking is definitely a good, like, for a while I was in a flow, like right after work I would like wrap work and start cooking, and it would feel nice. So good to just like only focus on chopping up vegetables or something, like it really helped.
I hear that.
But also I really love reading. Like, I have a big collection of graphic novels and comic book collections, and I really just kind of like reading them sometimes over and over again, just like old Batmans and stuff like that. It's like comfort food, you know. I like reading new things, sure, but sometimes I just want to read about Batman doing the thing again. It's like my favorite thing to do on the couch.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you
I am really like, I've been trying to do some reading. But I just, it's hard because I don't know. I used to do a lot more reading when I was younger. These days I really struggle to get into it, but I like kind of force myself. And so I'm reading like Ursula Le Guin at the moment, you know, just like trying to, because I've never read like the Earthsea books. So I'm like, do that now.
They're on my list.
So good.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I think I read the first one when I was younger, but that, after that, none of them. So I was like, I'm going to try and do that. But more than anything else, though, like, I'm just trying to watch more movies, which I know sounds like, I don't know. I really, really love... Say again, sorry?
Consume more.
It's like, it's consuming more, but at the same time, it's like, I'm trying to not just watch Marvel films and all that sort of like content that's on streaming stuff. Like, I'm going back and doing like a full rewatch of Tarantino right now. And I'm like, damn, man, this is fantastic. Like, I don't know. Like, because I have like a 4K, like I don't buy physical games because games get sent to me via code. And there's just like, then I'd just be buying them twice. And I'm not a collector per se, but I am buying like 4K movies these days because I really like value the additional quality that you get out of a good 4K like version. And it's like this thing, and I get in the mail and I'm like, cool, I'm going to set time aside in my life to watch that. And then I go and do it. And I feel really good that I've done it because I'm like, cool, I've given myself, my brain, something other than video games and Reddit. Go me, you know? And so that I've really enjoyed a lot. And I definitely plan to do some more of that next year. I think that'll probably be like how I spend the majority of my leisure time, because I don't have much leisure time. Like, just to be clear, this job does not afford you much time off. And like, for example, the month of February, I know that I will have zero time to do anything, like, you know, because it's just, there's too many fucking video games coming out, right? But during the holidays and when I do have the downtime, like, yeah, I want to try and get some good cinema under my belt. Because every time I do it, I feel really glad that I invested that time.
I used to crochet a lot, actually, and do cross stitch.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So I could crochet you a Robocop hat, at least.
Next time we catch up in LA, we expect to see it.
It's just I'll bring you both. Bitches leave on it.
But it's weird. It's like, it's kind of time consuming in a different way. I like doing it because it's counting and it's a repetitive motion. It kind of helps your brain switch off. And so I would put a show on and just be like, yeah. I haven't done it in a while. I have a lot of jigsaw puzzles, which I like doing. It's just something of a relaxing thing. You get the satisfaction of completing at the end. I really like cleaning and clearing stuff out. My apartment right now does not reflect that because it's an absolute state in here, but I'm genuinely, over the break, I saw this on TikTok again. You know, I've said that like 3 times this episode. Don't don't judge me. My attention span is short. It's ruined. But I saw this girl and she put every drawer and cupboard on a spinny wheel in her apartment on a spinny wheel. And she spins the wheel and then she just declutters that one thing, that one drawer. And so
that's a good idea.
I just want to like incrementally, very gradually just kind of clear all my stuff out, get rid of stuff that I don't need anymore. Kind of take stock of what I do have. I do like reading. I have a really bad attention span. So I have to, you see this pink chair? That is the chair that I read on. And that's my reading light. And I've got a little footrest and the whole thing. I'm currently reading House of Leaves. Because Alan Wake pilled, I guess. What else do I do? I went through a phase last year of watching a lot of movies. I was going through the IMDb top 500 and I would do a random number generator and I would just watch whatever it landed on.
Good idea.
Which was fun. Because I get choice paralysis. I have a list of stuff that I really want to watch, but it's just, you know, I'll sit down with my food in front of HBO Max and just go, I don't know what to watch anymore.
You're scrolling. What do I watch?
Yeah.
And then my food is cold. but ultimately, I spend a lot of time with my friends right now. I've been traveling a lot, so I'm kind of glad for a little bit of a downtime. But over break, I've got a little list of stuff. And so actually, this kind of leads us into how big is a pile of shame. Pile of shame, I guess, for us is kind of like, I guess, everything that you haven't ever touched, right? Because you have to talk about so much. So
yeah, it gets bigger every year. Like I maintain it like actually very carefully, and it's just keeps piling up and up and up. And I've definitely resigned myself to the idea that I'm never going to conquer it.
What do you mean you maintain it?
I actually have physical lists of my pile of shame. This is not some abstract concept. I have lists.
I love that.
Of the years that I've gone through, because I'm like so meticulous with how I've managed my schedule.
Yeah.
Because my life is so ridiculous. I'm like, unless I really know what I'm doing, then I'm fucked, right? Mm-hmm. And so then it's really becomes very clear to me at the end of the year. I'm like, well, which game did I miss that I really wanted to cover? And so like this year, for example, I can look back on my pile of shame being like, I've got it right here. And it's got stuff on there like Forspoken, for example, which I really want to experience for myself, despite like all of the stuff around it. I'm like, I would like to play that game. Dave the Diver, I put like 10 hours into it, but didn't finish it. Same thing with Dredge. Chance of Sinar, I've started, but didn't finish. Same with Cocoon. Haven't even booted up Sea of Stars. Armored Core is probably like the top of my list where I really want to get back to that and actually like properly do it. That's definitely what I'm going to do over the break. But yeah, like there's also like the Yakuza games. Like I'd love to do the whole Yakuza series and catch up so that I can love it like everybody else does and get excited about the next one and be able to play it. But I don't know when that's going to happen, man, because that's what, like probably 200 hours at least to be able to catch up on that series at like if I go full tilt.
So much.
I know realistically it's probably like 400 or 500, but if I just beeline it, it's probably like 200 hours. It's tough, man. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
What are you going to play next? You
think Octopath Traveler 2.
Oh, yeah. Armored Core is what you're going to play next?
Armored Core is absolutely next. Yeah. That is a thing. Like, as soon as I clock off for the year, I'm, like, booting up Armored Core whenever I get, like, some spare time. So, yeah, that's definitely very high on my list.
Jake,
the highest, I should say.
Mario Wonder is on the top of my list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haven't touched it. Really want to. It really appeals to me. Just haven't had time. Dave the Diver, also I've gone on record a lot for that. I also just want to replay Max Payne 3. That's just like a problem I have constantly. My backlog is huge and I'm kind of the opposite now where I kind of just like embrace the chaos. I try not to get too hung up on it because I'm like, life is short.
Yeah.
I do spend a lot of time just thinking like, oh, when am I going to play this? When am I going to play that? And it just stresses me out. So I'm like, look, I in my life will not watch every TV show I want to watch that everybody's telling me is great. I in my life am not going to play every single game that I want to play. So just do your best. And
yeah,
that's all I can really do.
Do your best. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, same. I want to be, and that's Ralph, where I was asking about like how you keep track of stuff is because I love project management shit. So maybe I'll do that for 2024. But I the biggest game on my pile of shame that I am going to be playing over the break, just for you, is Outer Wilds.
Oh shit! Oh my god! Oh my god! Mm-hmm. You're just going in totally blind, right?
Mm-hmm. I played it maybe half an hour before, and I didn't do anything really. And that was
years
ago.
Are you
going to
stream it?
I could.
You should, and just to have like a record of it as well, mm-hmm. like the first playthrough that you do. It's like, it's amazing. Okay. Honestly, there's nothing. There's literally no other video game like it. That's not hyperbole. Anyone that has played it will tell you exactly the same thing. We are all chasing the same high that we got out of that game, and you can't get it anywhere else. It's so fucking annoying because it's like that. So
should I get the DLC? Because yeah, I guess you would have played it without the DLC, right?
Yes, and then I played the DLC after. Mm. So I would actually really recommend doing the base playthrough first and then doing the DLC after that. Okay. Because for reasons that I won't share.
Okay.
But I do recommend it because you can start the DLC whenever you like. From the very first moment you take off, you can do that DLC. But I do think it is best savored to the end.
Okay.
But yeah, that's very exciting. Yeah. I really love to see you do that. And I'm like, sometimes I just cruise Twitch directory just to see if anyone's playing Outer Wilds, just so I could like feel like live vicariously through them again for a moment to be like, oh, I remember this bit. I can't wait till they figure this shit out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, man.
Okay.
Well, only video games. Yeah. They're the only thing that can do just that thing that Outer Wilds did. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I guess that kind of brings us nicely to a close of this episode. We talked about Pile of Shame and then what we're going to be playing over break. Boys, you got any big plans other than relaxing for the holidays?
For real, like relaxing, because we come back and then it's all on straight away. Like,
yeah,
then we come back and there's I'm looking at the schedule, Prince of Persia.
Oh,
there's
going to
be
Enshrouded
in early access. Tekken, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth.
The Last of Us again.
That's a great way to kick off the year's discourse by revisiting The Last of Us. And then February is wild, like completely out of control. So yeah, my big focus during this period is really just to like totally disconnect, reset, recharge, and yeah, get ready for a very, very big open to next year. So. Yeah. Jake. That's the plan.
I'm excited to be alive and excuse me. I have so the game rank stuff is like planned for the end of the year, and on my channel I have some videos going out. I still haven't put out my RoboCop video. That should be out.
I'm so excited.
This podcast is out.
Mm-hmm. Good.
As well as like my top 10 of the year stuff I'm looking forward to. I got a lot of that stuff, but I'm looking forward to putting the videos out and chilling for a second. And I'm really looking forward to doing this podcast more. This year was really fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it more and seeing where it goes, you know.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, we talk about that sort of stuff. Like, it'd be cool to do some like a panel somewhere one day. That'd be fun, I think, at an event.
Yep.
And be
t-shirt
cool to do
cannon.
Like a t-shirt cannon. That's
no
right. We'll do like a like a meetup or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely the podcast is a really nice touch point every fortnight. I think the regularity is really good as well, because you know, it's like a lot happens in a fortnight and then we get the chance to talk about it together. And I really like that because it never feels like work. And I think if we were doing this like every week, it might start to feel like work. Because like, what are we talking about this week? And whereas every 2 weeks, it's like, yeah, cool. Got so much want to talk about, so much want to share. It's always fun. So, I too am looking forward to more of it next year.
Me too. I'm excited. I am excited. So, I mean, work-wise for me, day job, GameSpot, I kind of wrapped up my final admin bits for the year today. Giant Bomb, we've got a few recordings and stuff that we're doing tomorrow. I'm playing Lethal Company for the first time.
Cool.
So
nice.
By the time this goes up, that VOD should be live. I'm very excited to try that out with the boys. And then honestly, I'm excited to cook, weirdly. I feel like because I've been traveling so much recently, I haven't had a chance to just like, I don't know, sit back and just relax and unwind and make some stuff and feel a little bit better about what I've been eating, I guess. But yeah, sure. Just
I feel that definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But thank you all for listening, watching. If you've ever rated the podcast or left us a nice comment, we really appreciate it. And we can't wait to do more stuff in 2024. And we hope you'll join us. You can find me on Twitter, Lucy James Games. Ralph?
On Threads, Skill Up YouTube, and here on YouTube.
Oh, and Jake?
YouTube, Jake Baldino. Threads and Twitter, because I'm a coward. and Instagram.
Fence sitting high, I see how it is.
Yeah, yep, that's me. Typical old Jake. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Cool. And thank you again for a great year. And Jake takes away.
Tie your shoes and go to bed.
We'll see you in January.
That was good energy. That was like aggressive. Like, tie your
shoes and go to bed. We'll see you in January.
That's punchy.